I'm now here at the Psychic Games booth.
Psychic Cactus Games.
Oh, sorry, Psychic Cactus Games. Chris, congratulations, because one of your games was highly recommended by first a friend from Phoenix Games Club, Dan Myatt.
Yep.
And I just come back from an interview with James Ellis, another game designer, and he also recommended Is It a Plane? So can you tell, well, first of all, can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Okay, yeah. So I'm Christopher Dean. I'm very, very new at tabletop game design. I launched my first Kickstarter, I Love the Core, back in 2016. That was released on Joyful RPG in December. And as soon as I released that game, I had already started work on Is It a Plane, but I'd only done a little bit of work. I spent the last 5 months going through the last stages of development, testing and promotion to get the game basically ready for like Kickstarter and for the UK Games Expo in like 5 months.
So I already had a little explanation of the game system. It sounds like it's the worst game to do actual play audio podcast.
It would be a challenge because you can't see what is being drawn.
I was discussing about that with Dan and I was telling him maybe, well, you can explain the system afterwards, but maybe you could do a, you got a podcast and then you go to a website and you got click next
It could possibly work.
So,
yeah.
How does it work?
Okay, so was Is It a Plane? The idea is it's not just a comic book RPG. It is a comic book RPG where you don't just play the character, you actually draw the comic book that you are in. And when I say draw, it doesn't mean actual drawing skill. Drawing skill is irrelevant in this game. You have a very limited amount of time to draw what you want your character to do. So to start with, it's like a normal role-playing game. You talk and amongst each other describe what your characters want to do. If you are super strong, you can lift the car. However, if you go, I'm going to pick up the car and throw it at the supervillain, that is where the GM would stop you. Now, in any other role-playing game, they would make you roll or whatever the equivalent of that game is. In this game, this is where you draw instead. The key difference is it's not that one player draws, it is any player that wishes to get involved in the scene can draw their actions. So if the other players want to sit out and let that player have their glory, that is fine. If one player is in Africa, and one player is France, and one player is back in time, in dinosaur times, they can all draw their actions at the same time. Because all the games master, or the editor in this case, as they're called, has to deal with is situations. These are words and phrases with a number attached. So the GM will describe the scene or scenes, give the players the situations they're dealing with, and then they can choose to deal with them. So whereas in a lot of role-playing games, people say, don't split the party, this is a comic book game, that is what superheroes do. They split up, they deal with different things. One guy is dealing with the bad guy in space to blow up the mothership, whilst the other heroes are down in the city dealing with the alien invasion. Maybe someone's aboard the mothership fighting the alien warlord. All these actions can go on entirely simultaneously if that's what the players want to do. They are given their situations, so the player aboard the ship will have the situation of alien warlord. Say 9, he's the big bad. Another hero is trying to deal with the mothership. Again, that would be 9, they're trying to blow the mothership. The heroes down below, however, they're dealing with the army, they're dealing with the mooks, so that situation is at 5. Those heroes are going to have an easier job to defeat the situation, which means they then might be able to come and help the other heroes. Situations will go up and down as the players use their drawings to defeat the situations. The way this works is you have 3 different sizes of panel that you draw on. The bigger the panel, the more power it has. So a power 3 panel may drop the warlord from 9 to 6. However, the power of the panel can also be used against the player. Because you do not tell the GM what you're drawing. The GM decides what you're drawing based on what you've role-played, the context of the scene, and what they think you've managed to draw in the time that they've given you. Now, you can sit there and go, no, this is what I'm doing. But the GM's like, well, it looks to me like this is what is happening. If that idea frustrates you, you can get story points, which will allow you to do things such as correct the GM as to what you've drawn, or add an extra minute of drawing time to add more details. Stunts basically are one of the things you can use with story points, and they match different play styles. So players that like more time to draw because they're artistic usually like Kapow, which is an extra minute. Players who maybe struggle to draw like Darnit, which lets them tell them what to draw. You can get a story point at any time. The cost of that is invoking a setback, which is like, for example, kryptonite for Superman. If you draw a panel of your character holding a green rock and wielding in fear, then basically they can get a story point. Makes it worse for you, but it means you get a point later on to use. And basically, yeah, the game is really fast-paced because all of the players are acting at the same time, and it's a comic book, so it's fast and frenetic. You have pages that you actually put the panels down, and a comic book only has 22 pages. So you have got 22 pages to defeat all of the situations in an issue in order to defeat it, and that is basically how it works. There is no maths for the players whatsoever once they've made their characters, and their characters are very simple. The maths in that is very simple. Once you've created the stats, they're just there to kind of decide what you can draw, so you're not just drawing your character going, I summon a pink elephant. You know, you can't do that. If you've got a super strong character and you're using your super strength, you will be able to affect situations positively. But if you are doing stuff your character's not capable of, the GM will either use the power against you, or they will use what are called scares, which are narrative elements the GM has as tools. This allows them to take away panels that maybe break the story, or swap them. The GM can then draw, and then the players get to decide what the GM has drawn. So there's a little bit of power that bounces between the player and the GM. They are working together to tell an exciting story in this game. It's not the GM is not out to kill you or beat you. It is, as a role-playing game should be, a collaborative storytelling game. But unlike a lot of diceless games that are collaborative storytelling, there are a lot more mechanics from the drawing and the power of the panels. They're simple mechanics, but they're very, very effective. If you've got a power 9 situation, you know you can't defeat that alien warlord with one punch. All the GM's going to say is you knock him down, he gets back up. The power can be used against you as well, so if you punch the alien out of the ship and down to the planet and then he crashes through a building, then your power-free panel might damage the building rather than the alien. If this is a dark side-type supervillain, punching them out of orbit is probably not going to do squat. This allows you to be creative, and basically it's not a game about fighting supervillains. Like a lot of superhero games, it boils down to use lots of skills in earlier scenes, and then when you get to combat, it's combat. There is no combat in this game. Any time there could be combat, but it's the same as using your abilities to do anything. You can draw investigation, you can draw intimidation, you can draw anything. And rather than just being about fighting the supervillain, it's can you defeat the supervillain and also stop that building over there collapsing that you punched a guy through. It's about the consequences of being a comic book character.
Whoa! I see a Kickstarter logo, so when is the Kickstarter going to start?
Kickstarter is already go. I have 1 week left. It's already been going for 3 weeks. I timed it so the UK Games Expo ran over the Kickstarter, so I could hopefully get that last boost in that last week.
So listeners are very likely to hear that after the end of the Kickstarter, but I guess it's still possible to make late pledge.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I mean, at the moment, I'm not quite sure if it's going to make funding. Like, it's been doing well in backer numbers, and I've got lots of overseas backers, which is great. Unfortunately, the pledges are a lot lower than my last game, Isle of the Core, because I'm only delivering one book, which means I can make it cheaper, which means I need to get more people interested. And the game is weird and unusual, and it's difficult to tout it just with words. The best way is to get people to play it, which obviously I cannot physically do without a teleporter. So I'm doing my best. But if it doesn't fund, I am planning to relaunch the Kickstarter in a few months. I'll drop the budget down as much as I can and drop some of the really high pledges because I'm going to Gen Con and I know I can get lots more interest there.
Yeah, and imagine.
I've already got a lot of US backers and I can communicate with the backers and ask how they would like to improve it and work with them. And hopefully I will get this game done, hook or by crook. And if I do get it funded, then I will look into backer kit and stuff like that to hopefully get more interest. Because again, there is a lot more interest for this game from people I don't know. I Love the Core was mostly made by enthusiastic friends. Like, they're the ones who put the money in. This one has gone outside my friendship bubble, and that is what I want. Like, this is my dream to be a game designer.
So when you say it's just a book, you're not planning on making, I don't know, accessories like the priest?
Have stretch goals and things. At the moment, there will be panels as well. So the panels that you use to play, DriveThruRPG do to have a card option. So there will be cards that you can use dry erase markers on, and you'll be able to rub them off. They'll have the Is It Plain logo and the power of the panels on the back of them, so that you can use them. But if you want to make your own, you can just chop up some card. There are dimensions in the book, and you can laminate them if you have a laminator and make your own for cheap. But there will also be a card downloading option. I would love to do it as like a full game. There's also people have gone on to me about possibilities of a board game, and I'm already thinking about that because I'll be able to do a much shorter book and basically provide more characters, more scenarios, but I don't need to worry about character creation and generation. There are a lot of people who are interested in the game, especially this weekend, who don't roleplay at all. So that is something I'm definitely looking into as well.
It might be interesting because I just interviewed Burning Games, and they're doing a board game. Simbaroon's been doing a board game.
Yeah.
Apparently it's something which is financially more rewarding.
The thing is, a role-playing game book is very big, and the average amount of art is one image every four pages, which costs a lot, especially when I'm doing a superhero game and I've got six characters in it, so I'm a four-page image for each character. That's what's bumped up my kind of budget. My budget is not much higher than I Love the Core, and I Love the Core made £7,000. But the thing is with I Love the Core is I was making three books at once, so the pledges were high to get them. Meanwhile, this one, like, wow, I only need to put in £10. So that's what people are doing, which is fine. I've just got to adjust to that. So I'm still very new at this, and I'm learning my lessons. But either way, I'm going to come out of this with this game finished, because as far as I'm aware, no role-playing game has used drawing mechanics other than Sketch, which uses it for character creation and nothing else. So as far as I'm aware, if I can make this work, then I feel it was spread really well. Like, when you've got a few people sat around drawing in the middle of a con where everyone's rolling dice, it just draws attention.
Exciting. I will keep in touch with you. And if you have a new Kickstarter, I will include it in the show notes of this episode.
Excellent.
And people can find out about it. Thank you very much, Chris.
Awesome. Thank you very much for speaking to me. Bye.
Action hero!
There you go. Wait, that's great. We are surrounded by babies. One of the nice things with convention is that I can run into people who know how to handle a microphone. I mean, fellow podcasters and streamers. And here, where am I right now?
You are at the Dice Tower booth, where we are the people that make podcast reviews. We work for the Dice Tower and make sure that everything is reviewed. Everything. Right,
yes.
Anna?
Yes. I mostly review games on the YouTube channel of the Dice Tower. So I look at a game, go like, do I like this or not? And try to give, of course, people my opinion of, is this any good? And maybe try to get a little bit of a girl's perspective on it.
Can you introduce yourself, the two of you?
Just like I said, I'm Anna. I'm from the Netherlands.
And my name is Dave Luza. I've been making segments for the Dice Tower for almost 3 years, I think. We're going into our third year. we are in no means the bosses of the Dice Tower. No, those are those great Americans that you see walking around with a red hat on. Maybe today Tom Vassell has got his sea turtle hat on. Yeah, I think he's got that today. He's the president of the Dice Tower, and they put out so many content about board games. It's there for, I think for four people, it's a full-time job. Yeah. Playing board games, reviewing them, making videos, going to the different conventions. And we make videos for them as well. Yeah. And
We are lucky enough to be a part of it, yeah, of this big group of people that introduce board games to everyone, actually.
Yeah, so to the world, yeah.
You sound like the perfect people I should, I don't know if you would accept for a drink, but bring along to the bring and buy to know what are the bargains there and what are not.
Yes, we should be the ones to tell you that all the bargains already left the bring and buy.
Oh, no. Did you go there? Did you check and...
I did not bother, mostly because I know that a lot of people, all the games that are still there that are either worth it are overpriced, or there's just bad games that are still left there. So I wouldn't go there at the end of the last day.
So just a tip for next year, go there at Friday at 10 a.m.
Go to the line of people bringing games to the bring and buy.
That is actually the best one yet. Yeah, go do that. Go to the line.
And
yeah,
and snatch it from them directly then.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Just ask like, how much if I get it from you now and you don't have to be standing here in the line anymore, and just give them to me now.
You said you were from the Netherlands. Is there anything, you know, I'd like to highlight stuff from continental countries.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would think is especially interesting right now in the Netherlands for tabletop fans?
That's a very interesting question, and I think it's also a pretty hard question. I have to say I'm not that impressed about the games that come out from the Netherlands, to be honest. You do have one great company, and that's Splutter Games. And they actually came out this year, and they did Food Chain Magnate. That's a very big game, a very complex game. And just this year, they partnered up with the guys that did Pandemic, and they did a Dutch version of Pandemic.
Oh, that's who did that.
Pandemic Rising Tide. And that's about the Netherlands and their problem with the country flooding over because of all the rivers that go through it and the North Sea. And that one is actually very interesting. I really, really like that one.
That's good news for me because I'm an architect / master planner.
Yeah.
And when I saw this one, I was like, landscape management and environmental infrastructure. I would like to try this one.
They actually, just now, and I haven't been able to check it out yet. I don't know if you have checked it out. But the Lowlands game, because that is about the Netherlands as well.
There is indeed a new, well, I think it's a modified Uwe Rosenberg game that is called the Lowlands, which, of course, is the Netherlands, and their problems fighting the water. And it is a Uwe Rosenberg game, so you are managing your farms and your sheep and your things. But in the meantime, you want to keep an eye on the water that is... It's not benefiting you, it benefits the whole country. So what do you do? How many resources are you willing to spend on things that don't give you points but save you and the rest? So that's kind of a tricky thing.
You kind of support / blackmail each other into spending the dam.
Like it is in Catan with barbarians that come in at some point. Am I getting my knights up to fight the barbarians, or am I just going to do just a little so we will still fail, but I am not the worst at it? So that mechanism from the old days, I think that's in the Lowlands, the new Uwe Rosenberg game from Z-Man Games.
Sorry, you were pointing at someone.
Oh, we just had the president of the Dice Tower, Mr. Tom Vassell, come into the booth.
Hello. What am I on? What show is this?
The Rollist Podcast, the probably London-based show of tabletop fans across the pond.
Hello, people who are listening to this. I'm Tom Vassell. I'm with my co-host Dave Luza.
Well, it's perfect. You're coming in at the end of the interview, I guess. What's your final word about the UK Games Expo?
Well, it's pretty bad. No, it's amazing.
I have to agree, yeah.
Your assistant were dissing on the bring and buy. I know you said it's terrible.
Well, the bring and buy is not good?
Well, the Sunday afternoon, it's not good.
Oh, but you know what? You shouldn't come Sunday afternoon. You should come on Friday.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, you know what, though? I've always liked this. It's like a game to me. If you go early, you have to wait longer, and you have to pay higher prices, but you have a better selection. You can wait to the end, but you get what you get. It's like a store when it's going out of business, and you see 10% off. You're like, I'll wait. And then you're like 20% off. You're like, I don't know. But then 70% off. You're like, oh, and you go there, and there's nothing left.
So you turn your shopping into a management game.
Well, no, not me. But other people do. All right, but I need to get going here. But fantastic. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast, and listen to Dave Luz's podcast.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day. Any final word?
Do what Tom says. Listen to my podcast, This Game is Broken, a board gaming panel show about, it's like a quiz show.
I will add it to the show notes then.
Yeah, do that.
Yep.
That's cool. And watch our videos, my videos on the Dice Tower, and of course Anna's reviews on the Dice Tower.
Board game. I also do the Board Game Blender segments where I play games with my sister who doesn't play any games. So that's also always a lot of fun to introduce her to new games.
Okay, great. I will put these in the show notes. Well, thank you, Will, and have a nice end of weekend.
I'll see you. Thank you.
If I were a tower of strength, I'd walk away, I'd look in the eyes, and it's what I'd say. I don't want you, I don't need you, I don't love you anymore. And I walk out the door. Calling to me. But a tower of strength is something I'll never be. If I were a tower of strength, I'd watch you cry and look at your tears. I could tell you goodbye. I don't want you, I don't need you, I don't love you anymore. And I walk out the door.
Finally, after several days of expo, comes the time for the final word, and what a better place to do that than this booth of RP Heaven.
Ah, we're doing well. It's been a long weekend.
You're full of energy, I can tell.
My feet are killing me, but the atmosphere here has just been fantastic, particularly as we've just this weekend launched the RPG Haven's Roll Together franchise, which seems to have a lot of people interested in setting up clubs all over the country, which will be fantastic.
What's been happening with RP Heaven? I think you had a minor announcement, a little thing going
on. Just a small announcement. We've been working and putting things together for the last 6 months up until this big build-up, and we've just announced our Roll Together charity franchise, which is our way of helping build local communities of role players throughout the UK. So our plan is, we're a non-profit group, and our plan is to help not other groups set up as charities or non-profits. Charities and non-profits build a local community.
How does that work?
How that works is if you've either got a small group, maybe one or two tables or three or four, and you're finding the organisation getting a bit difficult because you're not really sure what you're doing with it, because these things grow organically to start with. But you want to promote it a bit more, get newer members in, get, as I said, maybe you've got a university town, or you're just finding your tables, there's not enough people. We can help you. We can help you find a better venue, help you promote it. They'll be able to book via the website, which will help your members know what games they can book into. And likewise, if there is no club in your town, but you've got enough people who are interested, you can set something up, and that would mean you can expand your group of friends, really. Every night, every one night a week, you've got new people to meet and game with. which we all love.
So if I understand correctly, you provide know-how and finance both.
Know-how, experience, and we will help with the startup costs for that, yes. With 7 years experience, well, 3 years myself at Stratford, we know what we're doing pretty much and we know what works.
So if I take a random example, if my name is Dirk the Dice, I'm in Bolton and I want to open a role-playing club there, I got a little thing going on, I know a few people, what should I do?
I'll pass this to Dave.
You got a group of one or two people, your kitchen's getting full. I can't fit any more role players into your kitchen.
It's very appropriate because RP Evans started in a kitchen.
It did start in a kitchen. Imagine if your kitchen's getting full, you've got 10 people crowded around your GM, and your GM's trying to keep his GM scream up. That's the perfect time to start looking at if you wanted to build a club. All you have to do is you go on to www.rphaven.co.uk, drop us an email. If you like what you see on the website, we're community focused, we're charity focused, we just want people to be happy in game, just contact us. And what we'll go from there is myself or one of the other directors, Gary Harper, will get in contact with you and we'll work together to see what works for you and help you promote in your local area, help you find appropriate venues in your local area, help you with the startup funds. Because people get a little bit confused about that. How much money should I be spending for a venue? What should I look for in a venue? And we've done this a couple of times now. We're getting a bit of old hand at it. And we're thinking, well, we want to share that expertise and we want to share our setup. So hopefully we can encourage people whose kitchens might be getting full into the community, meeting in local venues, supporting local groups and just rolling dice and raising money.
Let's be clear, you won't help with extending the kitchen, though.
No, we won't. We won't extend the kitchen. No, that's all on you. That's all on you.
I would expect that there are kind of criteria and values that people joining are supposed first, like criteria to meet and values to abide to.
Yeah. So what we're really looking for are positive, proactive people who want to make difference in their community, people who love role play, but also love people, I guess. We want people who are welcoming, and people who we're a hardworking bunch, but we also like to have fun, and that's really it. You have to be a wee bit hardworking, but mostly you need to be able to have fun and relax and be inviting, I guess.
I had people asking me, and I posted an article about that for London recently.
Yeah.
You know, I got people coming to London and being like, "Where can I play?" And Google seems difficult to use. Is there going to be a sort of a platform where people can find local clubs to join?
That's the plan. That's exactly it. So at the moment, if you Google roleplay group or roleplay in London, we are the first one usually that comes up, if not the second one that comes up. And hopefully, if you click that link, you'll be able to see, not only in London, but across the UK, you should be able to walk into a town or a part of a big city and go, there's a club here, and I know that I can walk in and get good quality gaming and a good quality atmosphere. And that's what we do, to help new GMs and old GMs, and we kind of help, we mentor and we build up that experience, but we also have an atmosphere that's really welcoming and come grab a drink with us generally. But you should be able to do that anywhere in the UK. If I want to go on holiday, I should be able to go and find a seat at a table in Edinburgh, a table in Cardiff, wherever I end up. But yeah, that's the plan, really.
Yeah, like Dave said, it's just nice to see more people wanting to get into the hobby. Because I, even as a Stratford manager, I get emails from people who are not in London going, do you know any role-playing clubs in my area? And frequently I can't always help them because there isn't something. It'd be nice if there is that structure to say, yes, there is. Here you go. Come see us.
Speaking about London, you are extending yet again to the west now also.
Yes, we are indeed. All four quarters pretty much of London. There will be one of us lot there with our dice and a pint usually, role playing.
I see you've got little patches and one of those says sponsor.
Yes, we do.
What are these? I've seen those around. Well, actually, I'm wearing one because I got a faint idea of what it might be.
Yes, we spotted them on the Palazzo stall. It's an initiative. I think they started off in America, basically for inclusion, promoting conclusion.
So it's called tabletopgamer.org.
Yeah, gamers, yeah. It's promoting inclusion for everybody across whatever orientation that you wish to be, which is a great initiative. I think all of us are wearing ally tags and badges and stuff. It's really quite nice. It makes it really nice and visible for people. And we've had a lot of, because we nabbed their merchandise and put it on our store. We've had a lot of people who are interested, and they've want to come and game in a place that includes everybody, and this will help promote it, which is lovely to see. And so it used to be that women were the minority, but now it's nice that we're getting everybody equal seating around the gaming table.
And I have to say that the tabletop gamer guys have been really friendly and really, really helpful. I would recommend anyone getting in contact with them. On their website, they have a list of places that they recommend to go visit as well. And I think that's a really good initiative to know where you can go game, where is inclusive, where you can go and feel safe and roll some dice. Because we all start off as level one characters. We're all equal.
I started with Star Wars D6. So actually, I started as a mech
of a Spec Force.
Sorry. One last thing to add to the people who attended or wish to attend the UK Games Expo.
Oh yeah, come along. It's absolutely great to have so much fun. Your feet will hurt, but it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You've got good quality gaming. You can try out your new board games, and you can meet some really awesome people walking around, which is fantastic.
Well, that is goodbye for the series of the Rollist podcast at UK Games Expo 2018. But I'll see you again in Dragon Meet.
Yeah, see you in December.
This episode included Reduce Section Hero by Doppelskangers, Tower of Strength by XL Kings, and of course Sota of Rango, or theme song by Bonded Oral. The logo of the Rollist podcast is designed by Rolling Guns, and the Rollist podcast is a proud member of the RPG Academy network. We didn't get any new iTunes review this month, so I'm going to read an old review instead. This one comes from Surprise Chuck. Across the pond. As an American living in Canada, I typically have a very North American tunnel vision-like view of my gaming. This podcast does a fantastic job of fixing that and bringing a broad European perspective on tabletop RPGs for me. Thank you again, Surprise Chuck. Not only it's so nice to have a review, a 5-star, but also, well, that's the whole purpose of the show, to try to open a little window on Europeans and other kinds of role-playing games out there. So yeah, that's just great. So we didn't have any new iTunes review this month, but I wanted to motivate some of you to write one. There will be a pin badges giveaway at the Dragon Meat Podcast Zone on Saturday, December the 1st in London. So quite simply, write 1 5-star review on iTunes and you'll get one badge at Dragon Meat. You can write it on the spot or write it in advance and tell me, hey, I'm that one person, and I will hand you a Rollist Podcast little badge. And if you are one of the listeners supporting the show via Patreon, or if you join them, there will be a very special badge for you also handed out at Dragon Meat. And I will try to look into shipping them after that, but I need to put a little money on the side pay for the shipping, but I will keep you posted. Anyway, if you're in London or close to London, come to Dragon Meet. That's what I love about conventions, is meeting you in person. Yeah, I look forward to meeting again the people I already met and meeting some more there at the Dragon Meet Podcast Zone. I'm going to list again the shows joining, and we've got one extra at the very end of the list. Formal Gamer, Rusty Quill, The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, Sword Coast Sunscapes, The Rollist Podcast, of course, The Coriolis Effect, The Penance RPG Podcast, Green Stuff Games, Pretending with Dice, Darker Days Radio, D20 Future Show, and These Flimsy Rituals, which just joined us. So not only if you come to the Podcast Zone, you'll have an opportunity to meet in-person show hosts of all these different shows, but also maybe get interviewed by me for the show. But also, and it's not quite confirmed yet, we're waiting for the space to do it to be confirmed by the team of Dragon Meat, who's very tight on space. But we hope to run several games for you, which you can join. So they're going to be sessions by the Formal Gamer. Those will be D&D 5's 45-minute sessions GM'd by the Formal Gamer, like they did over the last 2 years. There will be one session with D20 Future Show, with me as player, of a game I wanted to try for a while, which is called
Jason Statham's Big Vacation Day by Grant Owitt, which you might have heard of in one of our previous UK Games Expo episodes. There will be also a very special thing by the Coriolis Effect, who are fans of Free League, and they got a new game called Forbidden Lands, and the Coriolis Effect is going to run a short 20-minute session, which will be, it's kind of a gladiatorial type of scenario, so it will be one-on-one fights between players with characters they created beforehand at Dragon Meet, so that should be quite exciting. And at the end of the day, there will be a longer session by the Penance RPG podcast of one of their typical D&D but slightly darker undertone survival game. Speaking of conventions, I just came back from the MCM London Comic Con. I'm not quite sure if I talked about that in the last episode, but yeah, I did talk about it in the Café Rollis, which is the bonus show if you support us via Patreon. And I was super, super impressed and touched by the fans of Critical Role who attended the event and the many cosplayers. So on top of everything I mentioned about the podcast zone, you will be able, so if you meet me there, to see me dressed up as Retro Travis from the opening of the second campaign of Critical Role. So I'm going to go with their cosplaying. And I believe Cat Tulip from the Currently on Yatis Pocket Mimic show is going to be there also cosplaying as Yasha. So I hope, I really hope, I would really like to see more Critical Role cosplayers attending Dragon Meet this year. So that's it for this month, and that's it for the interview part of the UK Games Expo. As you have noticed, this was not the final part of the bonus actual play with Brenda Lesser. This month has been crazy with work and with life. I had to travel abroad and stuff like that, so there was no way I could edit in time an actual play session, which is, anyway, the bonus with Brenda Lassalle, the final part should be next month, hopefully, and this will be the very, very end of this rather long UK Games Expo 2018 series. So, yeah. So part of my plan for, again, for Dragon Meet is to record less and spend more time with you folks. I hope you will find me there and we'll have a drink, a cup of tea, maybe a few obnubs. And you can tell me about your own games and maybe which episode of the Race Podcast you two were the most interesting. So see you at Dragon Meet on Saturday, December 1st. Cheers, bye!
Olé! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Olé! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente!
Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama, ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo, na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra vesti.
Vai, Batuque!
Olé! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente! Olé! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman! Yes, it's Superman!